You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 7th, 2020. Before this hour wraps up, a special tribute to another December 7th. President Trump tomorrow is expected to sign an executive order to ensure all Americans have access to the coronavirus vaccine before we begin aiding other nations around the world. The priority, making sure we distribute vaccines to Americans first. And you watch, there'll be an outcry from the mainstream media that doesn't sound fair. He's president of this country, not the world. Those other countries will also be looking for their other avenues to get what they can, and it will, and eventually it'll be around. But even as an American in this country, you may not get one offered to you because of the limitations. They're going to be going to those most vulnerable and those on the front line. It's understandable. But at the same time, many aren't sure they're going to take it. Already, Governor Cuomo had said, well, New Yorkers are skeptical. I don't blame them. I'm skeptical. I'm not going to ask any New Yorkers to take a vaccine I would not take myself. And so far, he hasn't said he will. A survey of New York City firefighters, survey of about 2,000 of them, that's about 25% of the active members. Out of that 2,000, 55%, when asked, will you get the vaccine when it's available, 55% said no. And in California, of course, they're locking down even more. The state under a new lockdown order. Businesses being hurt severely again, and more so. And also a report from the California Partners Project, the closing of schools, subjecting kids to distance learning who are already struggling and maybe suffering some mental health defects. This prolonged social isolation may damage their social growth and, in fact, reports of suicides increasing in California, as they are around the world, especially Japan. Colleges plan to bring back more students on campus in January than they did in fall, according to many administrators. Gonzaga, currently the top-ranked team in men's college basketball, still canceling its next four games because of an outbreak. And then, of course, you have so many businesses and so many, it's a ripple effect. Ridership plummeting in major transit communities, Boston, New York, Atlanta. Atlanta already suspending 70 of its 110 bus routes. Well, that $908 billion coronavirus relief framework unveiled last week by bipartisan senators apparently has support. There's still obstacles to it, part of it being there's no payout right immediately to Americans, no $1,200 stimulus check, which is critical. A lot of people want to run out of money the day after Christmas, if not the day before. Even Missouri Senator Hawley says you've got to include that, and they haven't so far. Update on all the challenges from the Trump team. Attorney Sidney Powell suffering two losses in two states, Michigan and Georgia, dismissing her suits to say the vote should not be certified. In Georgia, the chief investigator for the Secretary of State said, I did an investigation of those bags being pulled out from under the tables and nothing wrong happened, and yet did admit balloting counting continued after observers left. They did admit that. Well, this is Monday. That must be we have a new death count, unfortunately, out of Chicago. Over this last weekend, 40 shot. 40. Six killed. The CBS hit drama Blue Blood, starring Tom Selleck, going against the trend seen on some other network TV shows. They had a program the other day talking about public relations, dealing with a councilwoman who wanted to defund the police. And they bucked that back and said, no, we're not going to defund our police. We need them. We need to support them. In the meantime, the Virginia Military Institute removing the statue of Confederate General Thomas Stonewall Jackson today because of complaints about his history. Question, you think your phone battery, your iPhone battery is not working so well lately? It appears Apple's latest update, 14.2, is causing longer times to charge and still affecting the battery life in general. Maybe you're one of those. Stand by for our next portion of this hour.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They cheated and they rigged our presidential election, but we will still win it. We will still win it.
Well, that was a crowd Saturday in Valdosta, Georgia, as President Trump was addressing them. Major turnout. They estimate 10,000. And, of course, you heard him say again, we got cheated in the election, but we're still going to win it. He's talking about some of the legal challenges still underway. Now, I'll bring you up to date on that. Attorney Sidney Powell, she had been carrying forward some of the cases. Now, again, she is separate from Giuliani's team, but she was engaging on behalf of some other clients in both Michigan and Georgia, questioning the election results. One judge, the one in Michigan, making the ruling, because the election, and please listen to this, because this is exactly what I told you you can expect coming down the road. Well, the election has taken place, results have been certified too late to grant injunction. Let me read it to you directly. The time has passed to provide most of the relief the plaintiffs request in their amended complaint. The remaining relief is beyond the power of any court. For those reasons, this matter is moot. They wanted to decertify the results, block state officials from sending them to the Electoral College, so forth and so on. And it is exactly as I told you, we're going to see probably down the road, at some point, months, years, who knows when, some evidence will come out and show you this thing was clearly stolen. It was manipulated, everything else. And now they say, yep, yeah, it happened, but oh, too late now. Now, many of you say, Larry, you're just whistling again in the wind. It means nothing. It's being thrown out. You're just trying to create more of this stop-the-steal propaganda. Listen, I've got a ton of material over here. If I just want to go down through the list of some of the stories going on out there, many I would consider conspiracy as opposed to fact. And I'll go through some at some point, but I haven't had time to check into them as much as I want. But there are a lot of them going around. But when you look at some of the events happen, you just have to ask a question. It's as simple as that. Now, in Georgia, as I put up on Larry Connors USA Facebook the other day, this, what would they call it, a container on wheels, being pulled out from under a draped table after everyone in the room left except for the supervisor and two or three others. Now, among those leaving were GOP poll watchers. They say they were told, go home, we're done counting for the night. And, of course, the other side said, no, we never told them to do that. They just decided to end it, and they took off. Really, you think that's true? Well, the chief investigator for the Georgia Secretary of State conducted an inquiry and states in a sworn affidavit, she says, our investigation and review of the entire security footage revealed that there was no mystery ballots. There were no mystery ballots, pardon me. There were no mystery ballots that were brought in from an unknown location and hidden under the tables, as has been reported. Well, riddle me this. There were obviously pictures of these cases being pulled out from under a table that was draped. From the video I saw, there was no other table in the entire room covered with a drape extending to the floor. Only this one, where three of these containers were rolled out after everyone had gone, thinking and being told, they say, the counting is over for the evening. Done. And then they absolutely admitted. I mean, here's something they admitted to. You had to say, well, wait a minute. You're admitting this. She's insisting everything's right. And she said, maybe they left because at approximately 10 o'clock that night, ballots had been opened but not counted, were sealed in boxes, placed under the table while observers and media were present. That's what she says. And employees thought they were done for the night. They were closing up, ready to leave, and they left. They weren't told they had to. They weren't told it was over. They just assumed. If you're a GOP ballot or poll watcher, are you going to walk out when you see everybody going out and yet some people are staying behind? No, I'm going to be there until we all walk out and you close the doors. But she went on to admit the counting continued into later in the night. The boxes were then opened so those ballots could be counted. Right there should be a prime case. One point right there, a major point. So now you're admitting you counted ballots when there were no poll watchers there. You just admitted it. And you want me to believe there's nothing in the ballot in those boxes that would have changed the election? The ones hidden under the table with the drape over it, when no other tables had a drape over them. And they were pulled out only after everyone left except two or three workers and you, or the supervisor. Well, aside from what was in the boxes, you did just now admit the counting continued until later in the night. And it was during that time those boxes were opened so those ballots could be counted. Sounds to me like you admitted something was contrary to what you're supposed to be doing. Now, today is the voter registration in Georgia for the Senate election coming up January 5. All you Democrats out there and you leftists who want to go in there and screw that election up, you better get to Georgia. I'm telling you, what are we, you know, you got maybe, if it's going to be the close of business day, what, 3, 4, 5 hours, depending on where you are? Well, if you're adjacent state, well, rush on over right now. Maybe you can still get in. So you can go in there and register that you're a resident of Georgia so you can vote a week from today. That's when it begins. And, of course, we had over the weekend the debate between Senator Kelly Loeffler and Reverend Warnock or Pastor Warnock as to what they would do for Georgia. I want to let you hear a little bit from both. I mean, a very little bit, because I'm going to spend a lot of time on this. You know the issue. Let's begin with the Senator, Kelly Loeffler, Republican.
There are two visions for our country. Mine, the American dream. My opponent, socialism. This is what's on the ballot January 5th, the American dream. He wants to fundamentally change America into a socialist country. Well, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm working hard for every single Georgian.
All right, now that's her statement. When they were given a few seconds to wrap up the evening debate. And she's saying that Warnock will follow absolutely the marching orders of Chuck Schumer, thank you. And Chuck Schumer saying, we take Georgia, then we take the nation. In other words, we transform everything. And that's what Warnock will do. But again, I want to share with you some closing remarks from Raphael Warnock, the Democrat.
These are dark and difficult times. And amidst the thick fog of this pandemic and the economic turndown, even during this season of joy, it's hard for people to find joy. There are those who are engaged in the politics of division. They have no vision, and so they engage in division. Tomorrow is the last day to register. Tell everybody you know to make a vote plan.
And as I said, today's that last day. Now, I'll let you hear a little bit of both. But I want to point just one. There's one part of the debate, if you took only one piece and said, here's the nugget you need to focus on. Warnock being asked by Senator Loeffler during the debate a very pertinent question. Please listen and respond.
In your writings and your teachings, you've repeatedly praised Marxism and the redistribution of income. Can you here and now, for all Georgians, renounce socialism and Marxism?
Listen, I believe in our free enterprise system, and my dad was a small business owner.
No, you did not answer the question. You did not answer the question. Quentin's going to play it again for us in just a moment, but let me say again, he did not answer the question. He was asked earlier during the debate at one point, repeatedly, are you for defunding police? Very simple question. They never got a direct answer on that either. He started talking about, well, I'm all about, justice and reform, and so do you want to defund police? Never once answered. So again, this is where Senator Loeffler asked him direct statement here. He asking direct, yes, give me this answer. It's a yes or no to begin with, but you're not going to get it.
In your writings and your teachings, you've repeatedly praised Marxism and the redistribution of income. Can you here and now, for all Georgians, renounce socialism and Marxism?
Listen, I believe in our free enterprise system. And my dad was a small business owner.
Yep, that didn't answer anything, did it? Well, I'm glad his dad was a small business owner, and I hope he did well with it. That's free enterprise, not socialism, because his daddy would not have been able to have his own business if he were operating under socialism. So I get my daily report. Oh, by the way, one other thing referenced Georgia. Georgia's DeKalb County, at last check, from what I have here, the Georgia Star News was asking DeKalb County, we want the chain of custody records for the absentee ballots for your county. And DeKalb County is saying, we're really busy with the COVID-19 response plan and kind of working remote. And I'm not sure what we have. They cannot find the chain of custody records for the absentee ballots. What great timing. We just can't find it. We don't know. So I wake up this morning, and I get my morning wake-up slap in the face from the New York Times. David Leonhardt writing the Daily. He says, good morning. Okay, what are you going to do then? Good morning. We're looking at the Democrats' biggest weakness. All right, you got my attention this time. And he goes on to say, the Democrats' weakness with working-class voters is hurting the Democrats, especially in Georgia. He said that the opening line is, the Democrat Party's biggest problem is its struggle to win over working-class voters. And he pointed out, many Trump voters, after all, did vote for Barack Obama in 2012, and that suggests they're not incorrigible racists, acknowledging that. They voted for Obama in 2012, and the same people turned around and voted for Trump the next time when he came in. Also talking about how Trump fared with the working class whites and even better than with Hispanic voters than he did in 2016. I got a lot more to cover on this, but I'm dedicated the next part of the program on something that we need to deal with. That is China and what its plans are regarding biochemical warfare and DNA testing. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's called gene editing. It's altering DNA, and it's one of the things that our intelligence shows that China is doing. They've got the PRC, the People's Republic of China, has 2 million strong in its military, and it's trying to make them stronger through, gene editing.
That is the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, yesterday on Sunday Morning Futures on Fox. Talking about how China is trying to make its military stronger through gene editing. We had heard stories, numerous stories, about during World War II, how Hitler sending out some of their troops, they had given them various drugs or things, whatever they could at the time to make them feel invincible, that nothing could stop them, they just keep going, they didn't need sleep and just, go full tilt all the time. They didn't have what is available now, gene editing. But they were working on different things then to make a superior military force. Doesn't tire as easily, continues to fight despite wounds unless they're fatal, and just keeps going. Well, of course, our military does a lot of that as well when it comes to just fighting on and on, doing what they can. And now we train troops harder, making them better, tougher than previous days. But what China is apparently doing, according to the National Intel Director John Ratcliffe, they have a 2 million strong member military unit, and they're using gene editing to make those troops even stronger and less likely to need as much rest and sleep as the enemy. Well, they must have a future goal, at least one or two, correct?
China is trying to essentially dominate the planet and set the rules in the world order. And why it's so important and people need to understand is this is an authoritarian regime. It doesn't care about people's individual rights. We've seen what they've done to the Uyghurs. We've seen what they've done in Hong Kong. It's about putting the state first, and that is the exact opposite of what has always made America great. Individual liberties, freedoms, free enterprise, those things are all at stake if China dominates.
I think we all knew that. And I think many have legitimate concern that if progressives get more and more control, they'll be turning us over to China, basically. And yes, Joe Biden and his past relationships and his son's past relationships with China should be a concern. So we have China doing this gene editing to make their own troops stronger. The goal, again, is to basically, as John Ratcliffe, the National Intelligence Director, said, essentially dominate the planet and set the rules in the world order. And while they're doing that, my next guest coming up, an expert in all of this, says China's also been doing collections of DNA for years. Why would they be doing that? And I mean from all around the world. This makes COVID look like nothing more than the hiccups. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest was born in New Jersey to a Chinese father and American mother of Scottish ancestry. He lived and worked in mainland China and Hong Kong for almost 20 years, most recently in Shanghai. He's a columnist, blogger, television pundit, known for his book, The Coming Collapse of China. And the other day on an interview on Fox News, he began to talk about that China has been collecting DNA around the world for years. Now, the question, why? Glad to have him back on board. Gordon Chain, welcome aboard again, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
So let's get right to the question. Why has China been doing this?
I think there are two reasons. First of all, it wants to dominate biotechnology. Biotechnology is part of its Made in China 2025 plan, which is to take over 10 industries. But also there's something which I think is sinister, and that is while it collects the DNA of people around the world, it's also preventing the transfer of the DNA of Chinese people to foreign researchers. And there's an indication. Bill Gertz of the Washington Times spoke to a U.S. official who's anonymously who said, well, perhaps the Chinese are trying to develop bioweapons that target certain ethnic groups. And that would be consistent with what China has been doing, because there are indications that it does have a biological weapons program. And if it doesn't, its activities with DNA are certainly suspicious.
I want to come, and I know a lot of folks are saying, well, what about COVID? What about COVID? We'll come back to that in a moment, folks. But let's begin first, a little bit farther back. You say they've been doing this for years. How have they been doing it, and what do we know about how long they've been doing?
Well, they've been doing it by, for instance, hacking American companies. So, for instance, the hack of Anthem, the second largest American insurance company, which was discovered in January 2015, would have given China a lot of information. They also buy U.S. companies with DNA profiles. So the company Complete Genomics, and also just buying GNC, which has profiles of Americans. Also, they subsidize and offer DNA testing. So if you go to an ancestry company, chances are that you will have your DNA analyzed by a China or China-linked group. And as of last year, there were at least 23 of those groups that were authorized to look at and analyze the DNA of Americans. So they collect it in a lot of different ways. And Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, has been talking actually about getting a QR code for the world so that if you travel, you have to show a QR code to the airline. Well, that QR code is probably going to be backed up with travel and health information. So China, as a part of that system, will have access to it. And if not, it'll just hack it and steal it. So they've been doing this now for at least 15 years.
So for a lot of folks, and I just wonder about this, is this a blanket indictment against all these ancestry-type groups that say, we'll help you trace your ancestry, that China is doing all of these, or a majority or some? I mean, I'm thinking about folks who are just willingly giving their DNA to China and they weren't aware of that?
Well, there are a large portion of the DNA is analyzed by Chinese authorities. So it's not a blanket indictment, but it is to say that there is a pretty good chance that your DNA is going to end up in some profile in Beijing.
So you mentioned Anthem, obviously a big hack, and you mentioned other companies. How do they hold the DNA? Anthem being an insurance company, I've never had to submit DNA, but so what are they finding?
Well, what they find when they hack, for instance, Anthem, is the diseases that a person has because they have insurance records.
Right.
So they find out a lot, and then they can correlate that with others' information that they've gotten. So China's approach is to gather everything and then to sort it out. And they've got artificial intelligence to do that. So they rely on big data. The more data they have, the better chance they are that they will find a particular person's DNA, if that person, for instance, is of interest.
And you said they are actively collecting in their own country, and the thought process leads to the next step, that to basically make sure DNA would be protected, those of China, only other ethnic groups would be affected.
Well, that's right. And that is a real concern because, you know, China talks about, oh, you know, we have this common destiny of humankind. You know, we got to share and cooperate. Well, China's idea of sharing is that the world shares with China. China doesn't share with the world. So you've got to be very concerned when a country takes that position, especially a country that has done a lot of work on viruses.
To that extent, you've been quoted as saying, we know that biological weapons, you said people have said they won't work. You said, well, we do know they do work. We have the coronavirus, which may or may not have been a biological weapon, but it crippled the U.S., and that's what Beijing is looking for. That quote was, I think, just recent. More detail on that, sir?
Well, I'd even go further. We don't know the origins of the coronavirus, whether it started out as a biological weapon. But we do know that Beijing turned it into one. And we know that because China admitted the coronavirus was easily transmissible only on January 20. But doctors in Wuhan knew 5 weeks earlier, no later than the second week of December. And they very well may have known in August, according to a Harvard Medical School study. But the point is, if they had said nothing during those 5 weeks or 5 months about the transmissibility of the disease, that would have been grossly irresponsible. But they actually tried to convince the world that it was not contagious. In other words, they lied. And at the same time, Xi Jinping pressured countries not to impose travel restrictions and quarantines on arrivals from China. At the same time, he was locking down his own country. By locking down his own country, he knew that these measures would work, and by pressuring other countries to accept arrivals from China, he knew that he was spreading the disease, at the same time that China was lying about contagiousness.
You're listening.
You put those two things.
Go ahead, sir.
You put those two things together, and there's only one conclusion, and that China deliberately spread the disease beyond its borders. Now, there's more information on this and others, but that's the core of the argument.
Well, and again, you're listening, Gordon Chang. If I do recall, in those early days before the world began to know and the World Health Organization complicit or just stupid and just bought the story anyway, that flights from Wuhan were banned direct to Beijing. No flights were going direct for a period of time early. So they, as you said, shut down travel in their own country. You're also pointing out that China has five vaccine candidates reaching phase three clinical trials, coronavirus, and they're rolling out in at least 16 countries, including Brazil, Turkey, Morocco, and the United Arab Emirates.
Yes. Well, what they're doing there is no Chinese vaccine has completed its phase three trials. And so what they're doing is they're phase three trials on people outside of China. So, for instance, Morocco. But when they do that, of course, they get the DNA of Moroccans. And that's another way that they're collecting the DNA of foreigners. And right now, they're selling their vaccines, which have not been fully tested. So this is going to be of great concern for countries like Indonesia, which are buying Chinese vaccines.
We already realize that once all this happened, that we relied on China for script medicine more than we knew or even suspected. That had been an immediate concern, but I'm thinking about other issues connected with that, and now this concern about the DNA.
Yes. Well, it is all, you put all this together, and it is alarming. You can maybe explain one fact in isolation instead of say, oh, this is just benign. But you put them all together, and it doesn't look benign. It looks malignant.
So yesterday, the director of National Intel, and I had some sound bites from him before you in the previous segment, John Ratcliffe, saying, the People's Republic of China has 2 million strong in its military, trying to make them stronger through gene editing.
Super soldiers.
Yes.
That's right. I'm not surprised. I don't have any information on that, but I'm not surprised because we know that China's been interested in altering human DNA and the genome. And the question is, we also know that China is a militaristic state. So you put those two things together, and that would support John Ratcliffe's conclusion.
Well, it wouldn't be a far leap of faith, as I pointed out to the public, because word was circulating, although we didn't know all about during World War II, but later about different things given to some of the shock troops Hitler was sending out to make them, as you said, super soldiers.
Yes, well, China just is, it's a gene superpower, and it is experimenting and doing all sorts of weird experiments. Those, many of them are ethically questionable.
Well, it's not a very pretty picture, but I want to thank you very much for taking time to help us understand it. I think you pointed out your word was sinister. I agree, sir.
It certainly is sinister, and thank you so much, Larry.
Always glad to have you. We'll do it again. Gordon Chang, I appreciate it. Author of the book, The Coming Collapse of China. That, folks, as I said, and not Dr. Chang, but Chang admitted that, with this good reason to believe that coronavirus may not have been intended originally as a bioweapon, but then once they saw the effect of it, that why not find other ways to harness it and use it? Yeah, I think there's some big concern there. Well, let's go back in history on this date, on December 7th. Because I do not want to ignore this day and what it means to our country. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about
how she can make it right, yeah.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
The address of FDR to Congress regarding what had happened the preceding day, December 7th, 1942. The Japanese plan was pretty simple overall. Destroy the Pacific Fleet. That way they thought there was no way America would be able to fight back as they sent their armed forces across the South Pacific. So about 8 a.m. on that morning, this date, they launched the attack. Japanese planes filling the sky over Pearl Harbor, bombs, bullets raining down. At 8:10, an 1,800-pound bomb smashed through the deck of the battleship USS Arizona, hit the forward ammunition magazine. The ship exploded, sinking with more than 1,000 inside. Torpedoes launched from planes, piercing the shell of the battleship USS Oklahoma. 400 on board. The Oklahoma rolled over on her side and slipped under. Less than 2 hours later, it's all over. Every battleship in Pearl Harbor, USS Arizona, Oklahoma, California, West Virginia, Utah, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Nevada, had sustained significant damage. All but the USS Arizona and the Utah were eventually salvaged and repaired. And, of course, the loss of life. 2,403 Americans killed that day, 1,178 others wounded, some to die later of their injuries. In addition to the ships, 188 U.S. aircraft destroyed. And keep in mind at this point, we were working to bring peace throughout the world and with Pacific. And in fact, FDR, in addressing Congress that date, pointed out that we never expect anything like this.
Indeed, 1 hour after, Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace.
Yeah, they had been planning it, obviously, for a long time, just the journey to get in position. All the time acting like, well, we're trying to establish peace. Despite all their talk and posturing on that Sunday morning in Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, they attacked. A date in infamy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.